define yourself before your opponent does it for you. It's a cliche in politics, but that doesn't make it any less true. Texas voters will go to the polls for their primary tonight, and they could very likely push Romney's delegate count over that final goal line so he can clinch the Republican presidential nomination. Meanwhile, President Obama is spending more and more time actively campaigning. So joining us now to take a look at the beginning of, I guess, the official campaign, Molly Ball, staff writer for The Atlantic, and Ron Christie, takeaway contributor and Republican political strategist. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Good day to you both.
You know, Molly, it seems from your recent writing that you're saying that the negative campaigning coming out of the Obama White House means that perhaps the lesson President Obama and his advisors learned in 2008 was that being nonpartisan doesn't work. Is that the argument?
Well, yes and no. I don't think that's the lesson from the 2008 election. If anything, it was the opposite. Not that he ran a completely positive campaign in 2008. There was plenty of negativity. But they were very concerned with maintaining his brand as the candidate of hope and change and cooperation and civility and all of those things that he really has represented in the eyes of a lot of people since the beginning of his political career. I think for the reelect, that has been abandoned, that sort of apolitical pretense that a lot of Democrats felt sort of made it harder for them to run, to campaign, because those things were seen as too political. That pretense has sort of been dropped, and there's been a very, very aggressive attempt to make the election about the other guy, and very little positive case being made. It's much more a completely negative campaign.
And you know, Ron, many Democratic strategists are blaming this on Republicans, saying, look, we know their super PACs are going to get very, very negative and very, very personal. It has happened in the past. And therefore, for us to not become aggressive would be a stupid idea.
Well, again, this shows you what happens when you have a candidate who doesn't have a record to run on. You know, I think politics is all about addition rather than subtraction. It seems to me that the Democrats are trying to bring down the Republicans. They're not saying, look at all the positive things we've done. Look at the record that we've built. Look at why we should have four more years. Instead, it's let's break the other folks down. Let's reduce them to political dust, if you will. That's what happens if you don't have a record to run on.
Now, wait a second. When Obama came out with the ads touting his foreign policy decisions and also the killing of Osama bin Laden, talking about how difficult a decision that was, Republicans said, what is he doing? That's not, I mean, that would be touting his record, right?
No. If you look very carefully at that ad, Celeste, what he said was, we killed Osama bin Laden, would Governor Romney have made the same decision? I think that's ludicrous. I think any president, regardless of their party affiliation, would have made that call. But if you call that your number one foreign policy accomplishment, I think they have something to be worried about.
Well, Molly, what do we know about the way that voters are reacting to this kind of thing? Because both men are trying to define the other person. That's pretty normal at this stage in the campaign. Is that so?
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Absolutely. And it's also true that any re-election, any incumbent president's re-election is going to be a referendum on the incumbent. And that is part of the reason, you know, I think Ron would probably say, well, he can't win that referendum. And there may be an element of truth to that, depending on what happens in the economy. But voters largely are not tuned in at this point, to answer your question. And so a lot of what we see both candidates doing is base mobilization, is making sure that everyone on their side is on board and is working as hard as they can so that when the voters who don't live and breathe politics do start to pay attention, probably in the fall after the political conventions, that they'll be positioned to reach them.
That's right. And you're right. We're speaking with Molly Ball, staff writer for The Atlantic. A recent poll from NBC and The Wall Street Journal showed 53% of Americans didn't recognize the name Bain Capital, even after all of these arguments back and forth over whether or not it's fair to judge Mitt Romney based on his experience in the company.
And that's very interesting because I think what the president's trying to do is say there's a certain amount of crony capitalism going on. Governor Romney is running on his record not as the governor of Massachusetts, but for his tenure at Bain Capital. But I think that's a strategy that's fraught with peril, Celeste. If you look at MF Global, you have the former governor of New Jersey, John Corzine, who is a big bundler for the president. If you want to go down the road of someone who has lost over $1 billion in assets and who is a financial services person who's a big supporter of the president, if I were Governor Romney, I'd say, I've been running a very positive campaign. I haven't run a negative ad. You're talking about my tenure at Bain. Why don't we talk about those that you're associated with over at MF Global and other financial institutions? You've taken money from folks at Bain. I think the demonization of capitalism and the demonization of Wall Street is a big mistake for the president, and I hope he's learned that lesson heading into the Memorial Day weekend that we just left of maybe we can run on accomplishments or maybe we can run on something positive as opposed to just bringing down my opponent.
You know, going back to what you said, Molly, about people not being plugged in yet, I wonder if people really need to. I mean, at this point in the campaign, isn't a lot of it about fundraising and, as you say, mobilizing your base? For the average voter, when do they really have to start paying attention to the campaigning? Give me a date.
I'm not going to give anybody homework. I'm not going to tell anybody that they have to start studying now. But I do think there is an extent to which messages can get baked in. And you talked earlier about the definitional aspect of all this, about trying to define your opponent. There are, I want to say, almost sort of miasmic undertones of impressions that people get that can get baked in at this point. And this is what the Obama team has actually been doing with Romney probably for the last year. It's more the president himself doing it now, but they have been working very hard to create an impression of Romney in people's minds, pushing every time he says something that can be construed as out of touch, pushing this idea that he's sort of a greedy rich guy, in the hopes that by the time people do tune in, because when people do tune in and start really paying attention, they do have impressions, right? They do have preconceived notions of where they think these candidates are coming from, and by the time, there's a sense that by the time people actively tune in, it is too late to change that sort of underlying bedrock, the sort of concrete foundation of where they think these candidates are coming from.
And Ron Christie, I'll give you the last word here. Mitt Romney has had trouble getting him a clear definition for himself in the past.
I think he has in the past, but I think one thing he's going to galvanize his campaign around is economic prosperity for the future and making sure that we move our way out of the recession we've been in. Let me just quickly answer the question that you just asked, Amali. I think the date that Americans are going to tune in is Labor Day. Folks are at home for the summer. They're out with the kids. They're out at the beach. Once they come back and they start for the fall, that's when I think the campaign starts in earnest.
Kids go back to school and Molly Ball starts assigning political homework, right, Molly?
You can ignore the conventions. I love that.
Exactly.
Ron
that's
Christie's
fabulous.
Takeaway contributor and Republican strategist, Molly Ball, staff writer covering politics for The Atlantic. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
We're not going to ignore the conventions.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.